because he'll see about me.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
For his goodness, for his grace, for his mercy, we thank him today. Amen. Come on, give our choir a hand today. Hallelujah. Amen. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, there is this word from the Lord for us on today. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we're going to commence reading at verse 11 through verse 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11 through verse 15, and there you will find these words. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14, if any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. On this last Sunday of 2014, it is my hope, it is my prayer that as you assess 2014, as you assess the quantity and quality of the work that you've done in this year for the Lord, it is my hope and it is my prayer that as we embark upon a new year, that all of us will think seriously about how we can do a greater work, a better work for the Lord. Amen. Thank you, ushers. Knowing that our works are going to be tried, we all ought to think seriously about the quantity and the quality of the work that we have done for the Lord in 2014. And I just have a funny feeling, I have a sneaky suspicion that all of us will feel the need to do a little better in 2015. Destiny has to do with a place or point in the future that has been ordained by God. My brothers and sisters, every one of us in here needs to be aware of the fact that God has a destiny awaiting us. He has a place, he has a position, he has a point, amen, that we're all supposed to be striving to attain. The good news of the hour is that God is going to do whatever he has to do to help us to get into our destiny. And I don't know about you, but I want to make the Lord's work easy. I don't want to have to go through any unnecessary hardships and trials and troubles, amen, just for the Lord to get me into my destiny. But I'm here to tell you that if you want, amen, help the Lord by doing what you need to do to get into your place of destiny, I'm here to tell you God is an expert in knowing how to circumnavigate the circumstances of our lives in such a way that we end up where he wants us to be. I know I'm right about it because the Bible says that it's better to get into heaven hot and maimed. Do y'all know what that means? It means that it's better to get there missing arms, missing legs, missing stuff, amen, that God had to deprive us of because we wouldn't have gotten there otherwise. That means some of y'all are going to have some breakups in relationships. Do you know that there are some folk you're traveling with, amen, who are not meant to make it into that destiny with you? Do you know, as a matter of fact, that there are some people walking with you and talking with you and texting you and emailing you, amen, that really are a hindrance to you getting to your destiny? But what I like about my God is that he loves me so much that he's willing to do whatever he has to do to get me to my place of destiny. My brothers and sisters, you need to understand that there can be no vision where there is no understanding of destiny. You can't see right, amen, unless you understand that there's a place God is trying to get you to. And we need to be thankful for the fact that God always raises up somebody. He always uses somebody, some preacher, some prophet, amen, some friend, some family member. God always has folk in line to help us to see and get to our destiny. We wouldn't be sitting in this beautiful edifice today had not God given our late pastor emeritus, Reverend M.W. Harrison, the vision to lead us into this direction. He could have very easily have allowed the grumbling and mumbling of disbelievers, of naysayers, amen, to discourage him and put off or counsel what God had shown him to be a part of the destiny for this church. I wouldn't be standing here as pastor had not, amen, Reverend Harrison been in tune with the Spirit of God as it relates to God's destiny, God's vision for this church. So we need to understand that destiny and vision are important. Tell your neighbor, destiny is important. Tell that other neighbor, God is interested in you arriving at your place of destiny. Oh yes, oh yes. The children of Israel were predestined by God to one day inhabit the promised land. Moses could have allowed the grumbling of the people at the Red Sea to cause him to say, okay, forget it, let's turn around. We're going back to Egypt if they'll let us. But because of Moses' understanding of destiny and vision, he had to press forward even against the most difficult of obstacles. Because he knew, number one, that God was for him. Oh, is there anybody here who's thankful to know today that if God is for you, he's more, amen, than your haters against you. He's more than your enemies against you. He's more than those negative folk who are always putting themselves in your place and around you. Amen. God is more than the world against you. If God is for you, you actually have a majority. I'm here to tell you today that God plus one makes a majority. You can have a whole crew of folk, amen, trying to destroy you, trying to count you out of the race, but if God is for you. I put it up on Facebook this morning, amen, that there are some folk who had plans against me who are still trying to figure out how I survive. I know I'm not the only one in here who's had folk who have planned and prepared weapons against you, but you are here today still with your joy, still with your praise, still with your thanksgiving, because you know that in spite of what your enemies planned against you, God was for you. Is there anybody here that's thankful today that the God who plans your destiny is for you? I want to talk about destiny because I understand, amen, that God has a destiny for each one of us. He has a way that he wants us to travel, and it's so very necessary for us to stay on that path at all costs, because to fail to do so can mean your very death, your demise. Some folk have checked out of here because they got off of God's plan for their destiny. Some folk are in hospital rooms today, amen, because they let folk distract them from following God's plan for their lives. And I've come by on this Sunday morning, this last Sunday of 2014, maybe to warn somebody and perhaps to encourage somebody that you need to stop thinking about what folk think about you. Stop worrying about what folk say about you. Stop worrying and thinking and stressing about how folk feel about you, and make up in your mind that in this new year, I'm going to have my mind, my vision focused on what God has for me, where God wants me to go, where God wants me. Is there anybody in here crazy enough to believe that if you do what the Lord says do, you ain't got to worry about what folk are saying? You ain't got to worry about what folk are thinking. If I can just get in the will of God, I know everything will be all right. The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. That's why you don't have to worry about what your haters are saying. Baby, my steps have been ordered by the Lord. I can get caught up in what you say and what you think and get outside of the steps that have been ordered by God. And I'm here to tell you, I'll be in trouble. I don't mind you not liking me. I don't mind what you might say against me. Because if the Lord is for me, I'm going to be all right. Choir, y'all all right? If you know that the Lord is for you, if you're doing what the Lord says, do the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. And if this is the case, why do so many born-again believers walk around in confusion, dismay, saying in the spirit of that old cartoon character, I don't even think it plays anymore, but there was a cartoon character when I was a kid. I don't even remember his name, but I just remember he would always say, which way do I go? Which way do I go? And a lot of church folk are walking around, which way do I go? Which way do I go? Amen. That's why when some knucklehead comes along, amen, got a pretty good job, amen, look halfway decent, he bumps you in another direction because you run around talking about which way do I go? Which way? Just as soon as a sister comes along with a Coke bottle figure and a little hair on her head, amen, there you go, bumping in another direction, talking about which way do I go? But is there anybody here that has made up in their mind that in this new year I'm gonna stay focused on what the Lord wants me to do, on where the Lord wants me to go, on what the Lord wants me to say? If you love him, give him praise in this place. So I've come by to tell you that God has a way for us to go, but it's up to us to seek his counsel. It's up to us to seek his will for our lives. I want to know, Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? Yes, sir. Oh, my, because there's a very important principle that needs to be applied to you getting to your destiny, and that principle has to do with lordship. Yes, see, one reason a lot of us miss out on the blessings is because we don't have a Lord. Well, let me rephrase that. We don't have the right Lord. Right. Amen. Because everybody, you got a Lord. Amen. A lot of times your Lord is you. A lot of times your Lord is somebody you're trying to impress. Amen. How many of you heard that saying talking about buying stuff to impress people who wouldn't like you if they knew you anyway? But if you will make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, if you will make up in your mind that for Christ I'll live and for Christ I will die, I'm here to tell you that he will help you reach your destiny. How many of you want to get to your place of destiny? But it's very difficult for an individual to fulfill his or her destiny in God without Jesus as Lord of their life. It's just like traveling to a large metropolitan city that you've never been to. It can be a country town, amen, as far as that goes, amen. But if you've never been there before, if you don't know, amen, how to get to the particular place that you're trying to get to, it helps when you've got somebody in the car who knows how to exactly get you there. Do I have a witness today? It helps, amen, if you're in a city and you're trying to get to Suite 405 on such and such streets in the midst of all of the tall buildings and the winding roads and all of that. Oh, my, it helps if you got a GPS system on board that will tell you how to get there. But can I tell you something? In order for GPS, Global Positioning Satellite, to help you get to a certain place before it can get you to that place, it's got to, first of all, know where you are. Oh, y'all don't hear me this morning. A lot of reason why some people are not getting to their destiny is because they're walking around in oblivion to where they are. Baby, you better figure out where you are in Jesus. I said you better figure out who you are in Jesus. Stop letting folk label you and tell you who you are and what you ought to do and what you are. You ought to walk up in the house of prayer knowing that I'm a child of the Most High God. You ought to walk up in here, amen, flat-footed with boldness in your speech and in your praise, knowing who you are and whose you are. Because once you know who you are and whose you are, can't nobody tell you who you are. Do I have a witness today? Amen, amen. When you got somebody with you that can help you get to where you need to go, it's a help, it's a help. The children of Israel, the Bible says, wandered around in the wilderness for 40 years. They wandered so long, and theologians will tell you that they were real close to where they were trying to go. But they were wandering around aimlessly, amen, missing the mark because of their rebellious nature. They didn't want to submit to the Lord. They didn't even want to submit to Moses. And so they wandered around with no direction, no sense of who they were or where they were going. Amen. And many of us are doing that because we haven't come to the understanding that God has a destiny for our lives. You're not here just to wander, young people, aimlessly through life. But God has ordered your steps. Or in other words, God has designed a path for you to travel. Now, if you don't understand me, don't misunderstand. Because a lot of times we want folk to take the same path we took. A lot of times, amen, we think that the only way to get to a place is the way we got there. That's why I tell even some young folk that college ain't for everybody. Mama, I know you want to be able to brag and boast that your baby went to this school and got this degree, but that ain't for everybody. I thank God, amen, that Mr. Buddy Leach, he let me know that down in Lake Charles, there's a company that is spending $13 billion, amen, on two refineries that they're building in Lake Charles, and they're having to get electricians and welders from India and from England. Because there aren't enough of our folk, amen, who know how to do those jobs. I'm here to tell you that your path may not be somebody else's path. They say that the welders over there are starting at $75,000 and $80,000 a year. And there you are trying to get a degree you can barely, amen. Your path ain't the path for everybody. But I'm here to tell you that God has a path for each of our lives. Now, another thing that's very important, we've got to make sure that we are in the will of God. And make him your Lord. That's number one. Amen. But after you've made him your Lord, you've got to make sure that you're operating in his will. Yes, sir. See, y'all, when you operate in God's will, you develop a certain sense of boldness. Hold on. When you know you're in his will, you ain't got to be shy about it. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking, you know, if you go to McDonald's or Popeye's or Burger King, if you go through the drive-thru, they have a menu out there. You know what that menu is? That menu is the will of McDonald's. That menu is the will of Burger King. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that McDonald's is saying, amen, without any doubt, amen, that if you order what they got on that menu, it's going to be yours. If you got a little change to pay for it, amen. And a lot of times the reasons we don't get, amen, what we need, what we desire, is because it ain't on God's menu board. Y'all, when I go to Popeye's, amen, when I go there and I know the thing says they got a three-piece chicken for $3.99 and I get to the window and she charges me $5.99, I can raise some sand because your will said $3.99. So you're saying something different. Amen. And it's the same way with God. How many of you, when you pray, if you know you're praying in the will of God, you can go with boldness to God. You can say, God, you said that if I got sick, you would heal my body. So here am I, God. I'm looking at the menu board, and I need healing right now. And if you have no doubt in your mind, if you go to God by faith, is there anybody here who knows that God will touch and heal your body? If you ask it in his will, if you ask it in his will, you got to make him the Lord of your life. You've got to operate in his will. And I'm here to tell you, he will get you to your destiny. In Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the word of God says, therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about Christ, let us press on to maturity. Tell your neighbor, grow up, grow up. Not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of instruction about baptisms and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. Y'all, the writer says that these are elementary teachings. What does that mean? That means that stuff you should have learned when you first accepted Christ. Amen. A lot of folk have been in church 20 and 30 years, and all they know is about baptism. All they know about is repentance from dead works. But is there anybody here who understands that if you're going to let God get you into your destiny, you've got to grow in his word? You've got, amen, we ought to be at Bible study. When Bible study is going on, we ought to be there. And when Bible study is not going on, we ought to be able to have Bible study at our own home. But if you're going to get to your destiny, if you're going to hear and see the vision of God, you've got to know him and know what he says. I thank God today that my 2014 hasn't been everything I wanted it to be. But I'm so happy today that I'm still here. I said I'm still here. The fact that we're still here says that God is giving us another chance. Another chance to walk right. Another chance to talk right. Another chance to live right. You do know, don't you, that there are some folk in the assembly look real Christian, act real holy, but got hatred in their hearts. If you're here this morning, God is giving you another chance to get that thing right. You ought to thank him today. Is there anybody here that's glad that God has given you another chance to walk into your destiny? Now, I don't know what his plan is for your life, but I do know that if God has planned it, it's gonna be all right. After all that I've been through, I can stand here today and say I still have joy because the Lord has given me another chance to walk into my destiny. And I don't know how you feel about it this morning, but if you're not too mean and if you're not too proud, I think there ought to be somebody else who wants to thank God for another chance. There ought to be somebody else who wants to praise God for giving them one more opportunity to get it right, to get it together, to get it straight. You ought to tell God, thank you. Ain't he all right today? Hasn't he been good to you? I dare you to look back over 2014 and think about what God has done for you. Think about the trials and the troubles he's seen you through. Is there anybody here other than me that can say it hadn't been a bed of roses? But I thank God, I said, I thank God, I thank God that he's kept me one more day. And because he kept me, I'm gonna tell him thank you. Thank you for waking me up this morning. Thank you for food on my table. Thank you for clothes on my back. Thank you, Jesus. I said, thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done, for all that you've been, for every trial, for every trouble, for every storm. Because I'm here today, I got another chance to make it to see tomorrow. Come on and give him praise. Come on and give him praise. Give him praise. Your destiny is just ahead. Your destiny is before you. Let Jesus lead you. Let him lead you all the way. As we stand all over this place, my brothers and sisters, you're here today. It's not by coincidence. It's not by accident. God knew that you were going to be here today. The challenge for you now is to say, Lord, help me to make you Lord of my life.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T 88.1 FM.
This morning I would like to use as a subject Paul's letter to American Christians. Paul's letter to American Christians. I would like to share with you an imaginary letter from the pen of the Apostle Paul, the postmark reveals that it comes from the island of Crete. And after noticing and opening the letter, I discovered that it was written in ill-formed, sprawling Greek. And at the top of the letter was this request: read to the people when they assemble themselves together, and pass on to the other churches. I have labored with the translation for several days. At times it has been difficult, but now I think I have its substance. And if in giving this letter the content sounds strangely Kingian rather than Paulinian, attributed to my lack of objectivity rather than Paul's lack of clarity. It is quite miraculous indeed that the Apostle Paul should be writing a letter to you and me 1900 years after his last letter appeared in the New Testament. How that is possible, I do not know. And I do not really care. The important thing is that I can imagine Paul speaking to us in 1956, speaking to American Christians, and here is the letter as it stands before me. I, an apostle of Jesus Christ, through the will of God, to you who are in America, grace and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I had longed to be able to come to see you. I have heard of you and what you are doing. I have heard of the fascinating and astounding advances that you have made in the scientific and the material realms. I have heard of your aeroplanes. And I have heard about the fact that through your scientific genius, you have been able to dwarf distance and place time in change. Yes, you have been able to carve highways through the stratosphere. And so in your world, you have made it possible to eat breakfast in London, England, and lunch in New York City. I have heard about your skyscraping buildings, with their towers steeping heavenward as if to bathe their peaks in the lofty blue. I have heard of your great medical science and all of your advances in the medical realm. And so you have been able to cure many dread plagues and diseases, and thereby to prolong your life and bring about greater security and physical well-being. All of that is wonderful.